This is Africa News Tonight on the Voice of America.
Hello, welcome to VOA Africa. Thank you for joining us for a pre-recorded special presentation of Africa News Tonight. I'm your host, Yehiyes Wuhib, in Washington. Coming up.
I think the pandemic will further expose the digital divide problem that exists between the major cities and the regional towns in the West African countries. Citizens who are required to self-isolate might have access to internet and e-commerce services in the major cities, while those who are in the regional towns would not have the same facilities.
That was David Ndonga, a lecturer in Kenya, on the expected rise on online shopping during the coronavirus outbreak. Details coming up. Also, officials in Cameroon are calling on citizens to stop attacks on foreigners who are being blamed for coronavirus cases. And yesterday's controversial constitutional referendum in Guinea was marred by violence and low turnout amid the coronavirus fears. These stories and more next on this special VOA Africa program. Officials in Cameroon are calling on citizens to stop attacks on foreigners and visitors from the diaspora who are being blamed for an increase in coronavirus cases. The attacks began after some passengers on an Air France flight that landed in Cameroon last week ignored a quarantine order. Moke Edwin Kenzeka has the latest from Yaoundé.
43-year-old businessman Ferdinand Mufoche says he has been victim of regular attacks and harassment since he returned to Yaoundé from Milan, Italy, through France on March 17th. He says residents of Ekounou, the neighborhood where he lives, accuse him of being a healthy carrier infecting people with COVID-19.
I don't see how my own country where I was born to reject me because have been out the coronavirus. It's a problem that's concerning the whole world.
Che is one of the 198 passengers of an Air France flight that landed at the Douala International Airport on March 17. The government ordered all of its passengers to be isolated in hotels for at least 15 days. Instead, many of them escaped to their homes, provoking the anger of some Cameroonians. On the streets of Yaoundé, attacks and insults on people identified as foreigners, especially whites and Chinese, have increased sharply in the last week. The U.S. Embassy in Yaoundé has reported a rise in verbal and online harassment, stone throwing, and banging of vehicles occupied by expatriates. 29-year-old Ebenezer Mokete says he is among those who joined the attacks. He alleges that COVID was created by either the U.S. or China for commercial purposes and unfortunately developed into a health crisis. There is no scientific evidence to support his allegation.
They create a so-called pandemic and they come and inflict in Africa. When you listen to the French president, he says France is at war. American president comes out and say America is at war. Let them fight their war, not in Africa. The Ministry of Public Health is telling us that the cases are from abroad. Why it coming to transmit it to Cameroonians? So let them go away. We don't have any other choice than to attack them.
Cameroon Health Minister Manauda Malashi has called on the population to stop the attacks. He adds that everyone should respect measures put in place to stop the spread of COVID-19.
Ces personnes ne sont pas encore malades, ou du moins ils ne sont
He says people who came in from Europe, China and America before Cameroon closed its borders should not be stigmatized, but that they, as well as any other Cameroonian who has cold, severe respiratory syndrome, runny nose, cough, sore throat and tiredness, should contact the nearest hospital. He says those who are running from isolation should know that they may be putting the lives of their families and communities in danger and that they will be treated free of charge if tested positive. Cameroon confirmed its first case of COVID-19 on February 6. On Monday, officials said the number of confirmed cases had increased to 56, with a majority of them imported. 7 are Cameroonians infected by their relatives who came from Europe. In an effort to stop the spread of the virus, Cameroon last week closed all its borders and suspended issuance of visas into the country until further notice. Moki Edwin Kinzeka for VOA News, Yaoundé.
As COVID-19 sweeps the globe, more and more people are relying on e-commerce to get what they need so they can practice social distancing. Businesses across West Africa are also seeing a boost in their online sales, though as experts say, due to the digital divide, not everyone will have access. Stacey Knott reports from Accra.
Online retailers in West Africa are seeing higher demands for their services as cases of COVID-19 rise in the region. Founder of Big Sam's Market in Ghana, Elslan Awuzi Sampson, has seen a drastic increase in demand since the pandemic. Her business does market shopping and delivery. However, she says she might soon have to stop her services.
I think with the virus or the pandemic, people are getting scared to go to the market, so they are actually running to us. They are trusting us to provide the service to them. However, we are also thinking of going on a break because of that.
Stopping services would be bad for business, but she says she also needs to consider the health of her staff. In Nigeria, online grocery shop AppleCart is also experiencing more demand and new orders as buyers stock up on essentials to prepare for potential market closures or restrictions of movement in the nation, the company says. In Sierra Leone and Liberia, two nations smaller than Ghana and Nigeria and less economically developed, online shops say they are experiencing slight increases in demand, which they attribute to COVID-19 fears. Liberian Fabundi Mami started LIB delivery in 2018. Motorbike riders deliver goods purchased from stores, meals from restaurants, or packages across the capital, Monrovia. He is seeing more people starting to use his service to stock up on goods and to practice social distancing.
There's going to be a lot of people doing it because you need to avoid human interaction. So staying home and using LIB delivery is basically the only option I can think of.
However, in these West African nations, not everyone can access these services. Most businesses spoken to said it is mostly middle-class people or expats using these services. Dr. Dennis Donga, a lecturer from Kenya currently working in Australia, has researched e-commerce in Africa and points to challenges and lack of internet connectivity, affordability, and issues of cybercrime. Donga says while e-commerce can help grow a developing nation's economy, digital divides need to be addressed. He says it is not only globally that there are inequalities in access to the internet, there are big gaps within developing nations as well.
I think the pandemic will further expose the digital divide problem that exists between the major cities and the regional towns in the West African countries. Citizens who are required to self-isolate might have access to internet and e-commerce services in the major cities, while those who are in the regional towns would not have the same facilities.
2017 estimates from the World Bank found that in sub-Saharan Africa, only about 25% of the population uses the internet. So, increasing access would mean creating millions of job opportunities like those in e-commerce. Stacey Knott for VOA News, Accra, Ghana.
Zimbabwe's large informal economy started feeling the pinch of COVID-19 even before a confirmed case had been recorded in Africa. It only has two confirmed cases so far, but suspension of sports events worldwide has affected Zimbabwe's gambling industry, which has turned into a 24/7 business in some parts of the country. Columbus Mavunga reports from Harare.
By the time Zimbabwe confirmed its first coronavirus cases, gamblers in this southern African nation had already started feeling the pinch. That is because most sports were banned worldwide as part of early efforts to curb the growing pandemic. Via WhatsApp, one of those gamblers, 45-year-old Julius Mbewe, said he has for the past 5 years been getting between $150 to $200 a month from betting on all major football leagues in Europe and in neighboring South Africa. He now hopes a solution for COVID-19 is near.
For health reasons, this ban on all sporting activities, it is a very noble idea, but indirectly it has affected us as soccer punters, as we also make something from this soccer bet. Now we have been going on for a few weeks without betting on these things. So, you know, it's loss of revenue on our part. Some other months also bound not to make any profits, but it has always kept us doing something. And also, you know, sports being sports always bring a lot of us together.
Zimbabwe's unemployment rate is at around 85%, say independent economists. 35-year-old Farai Chitengwa tells me via WhatsApp that for the past 10 years, on a good month, he gets between $700 and $800 from soccer betting. It is his only source of income.
Obviously, we need to contain this virus that has gone astray. But at the same time, it has an impact on some big punters, I also included. We make a living out of it. We all hope that they'll manage to contain this corona so that we can start doing what we know best, but trying to cover the gap of an average of 700 US that we're making through sport bet to all of a sudden, you have to find other means. It's really stressful in a way.
Via WhatsApp, Trusty Chikora, an independent economic analyst, says President Emmerson Mnangagwa's government should act to ensure Zimbabwe's fragile economy is not further affected by COVID-19.
So until things get under control in terms of the disease, that sport betting industry remains dead. So it is necessary to avail funding even for the private sector, so that the private sector can be able to withstand this problem. We also urge the international community, the IMF, World Bank, and other Pan-African institutions, such as the Afrexim Bank, to come in and assist governments so that we can be able to withstand the ravages on the economy that will be felt because of COVID-19.
President Emmerson Mnangagwa last week said his government was deeply concerned about COVID-19 and called it a real threat. Zimbabwe's measures include banning groups of more than 100 people to help stop the spread of COVID-19. For now, they have succeeded in stopping business for a vibrant part of Zimbabwe's informal sector. Columbus Mavungam for VOA News, Harare.
You are listening to a special recorded program on VOA Africa. I'm your host, Yehei Swuhib. Here is a recap of our top stories for today's special pre-recorded presentation. Officials in Cameroon are calling citizens to stop attacks on foreigners who are being blamed for an increase in coronavirus cases. And as COVID-19 sweeps the globe, people are relying on e-commerce to get what they need so they can practice social distancing. VOA is experiencing some technical difficulties, so we are offering this program recorded earlier. We aim to return to our normal programming within a few days. In the meantime, thanks for listening to African News Tonight. And for more news and information, visit our website at voanews.com. Yesterday's controversial constitutional referendum in Guinea was marred by violence and low turnout amid fears of the coronavirus. AFP reports clashes occurred between police and protesters. Opposition groups say anti-government forces came under fire by security forces who carried out massive arrests and fired at random, killing at least 10 people. Opposition parties and civil society organizations are calling for fresh protests today and tomorrow. Alpha Conde, who became Guinea's first elected president in 2010, is proposing a change to the constitution to codify gender equality and introduce other social reforms. However, His opponents fear the real motive is to reset presidential term limits, allowing the 82-year-old Conde to run for a third term. Critics are also questioning yesterday's vote, which took place amid mounting concern about the spread of the coronavirus in Africa, including two cases officially reported in Guinea. Kenyan medical practitioners who helped in the fight against the 2014 West Africa Ebola outbreak have been deployed to Nairobi's main hospital to treat coronavirus patients. Kenyan authorities say these doctors are applying their expertise gained in fighting Ebola to help contain COVID-19. Mohamed Yusuf reports from Nairobi.
Peterson Washira was one of 155 Kenyan medics who went to Liberia and Sierra Leone in 2015 to help fight the Ebola outbreak that killed more than 11,000 people. 5 years later, Washira and other medics are applying what they learned from tackling Ebola to combat the coronavirus in Kenya. He says the outbreak of any virus needs community engagement to stop the spread of the disease.
We have seen that mitigation of such a virus is a communal venture. You cannot protect yourself alone. It must be communally done so that you can be able to mitigate. Otherwise, if it's not done communally, if people do not own up and do this and embrace behavior change as a community, then there is no way you are going to address this.
Kenyan authorities announced the country's first confirmed case of coronavirus last week. The government since restricted entry, cancelled classes and events, and urged social distancing. The country of 50 million people is relying partly on medics like Washira to help fight against the virus, said Acting Director General of Health Patrick Amoth at a news conference.
Indeed, we have incorporated the Ebola champions into our contingency plan. They are part of the people who are assisting us with the surveillance at our points of entry. They are in our isolation units at Kenyatta National Hospital and Bagadi Hospital. They are also part of the people who are assisting us in training the rest of the healthcare workers, especially on issues regarding infection prevention and control.
Kenya's Ministry of Health says they have trained 1,100 health workers to try to stop the spread of the coronavirus, also known as COVID-19. Washira says to fight an outbreak like coronavirus requires more than training.
When you are managing such an outbreak, it doesn't take knowledge alone. It also takes courage. And for you to have courage to be able to mitigate such an outbreak, then you must have confidence in the mechanisms you are using to protect yourself.
Kenyan media reports say some medical workers at Nairobi's coronavirus isolation and treatment centres complain of a lack of proper training and protective gear. Kenya Union of Doctors Secretary General Ouma Oluga says they are worried the conditions for health workers may be unsafe.
Our biggest concern is that in the facilities we do not have holding rooms, or basically what we call cold rooms, so that the health workers do not go back to interact with their families, especially should we get more cases and we have more health workers that are coming into contact with patients. Already in a few facilities, we have a number of health workers who have themselves been isolated.
Kenya's Minister of Health on Thursday evening said they will begin randomly screening people for the virus from Saturday and forcibly quarantine those who fail to self-isolate. Mohamed Yusuf for VOA News, Nairobi.
South Africa has always had a knack for gallows humor. The nation has been through so much trauma and turmoil that laughter is its first impulse in the face of challenges, and the growing spread of the novel coronavirus is no exception, with an online explosion of memes, skits and cartoons. VOA's Anita Powell talks to two content producers leading the laugh offensive.
In tough times, many South Africans' first instinct is to crack a joke. The coronavirus threat is, after all, hardly South Africa's first crisis. For months now, the nation has struggled to keep a reliable electricity supply. Youth unemployment is in the double digits. Gender-based violence is an everyday occurrence. And hanging ominously over everything is the dead but not forgotten specter of the racist apartheid system. In recent weeks, social media have been flooded with memes, skits, and jokes about the threat of the novel coronavirus. Sometimes the jokes also poke at South Africa's serious challenges, like its persistent inequalities. In one pointed YouTube video, an overwhelmed public hospital nurse barks at patients.
Okay, everybody, please do not panic, but you're all dying today.
Mind you, South Africa is taking the viral threat seriously as its caseload vaults over 200. The nation has banned travelers from high-risk countries like Italy, China, and the United States. People appear to be heeding a new ban on large gatherings, with the normally buzzing streets of Johannesburg nearly deserted this week. But for insight into why South Africans seem to find the direst of situations so funny, I turned to a social media expert, 20-year-old Kamva Mzinzi. Mzinzi sometimes works with VOA as a production assistant to our Johannesburg cameraman, but his main passion lies in comedy and performing magic under the alias That Big Ace. Mzinzi says he has been amused by the flood of memes that juxtapose a very serious President Cyril Ramaphosa warning the nation about coronavirus with upbeat music.
People have been remixing that with songs like South African house music, and it's been really funny. I haven't been not laughing at that meme. Every time they put a different song, I laugh harder.
Humor is also an important part of the mainstream media in South Africa. Political cartoonist Carlos Amato draws for the Mail and Guardian newspaper and the New Frame website.
I suppose it's just the frequency of the challenges we face. We could have no choice but to keep laughing, because, you know, the whole history of this country is one long, terrible situation with occasional moments of uplifting hope. So it's just something that South Africans do as soon as something ridiculous or ridiculously awful happens.
But he says there's a serious side to the jokes.
Quite often I have pangs of guilt at the triviality of what I do. But I suppose the role is to keep people expressing themselves and keep people thinking in fresh ways about the issues of the day. And in the coronavirus crisis, it's about making people feel like things are going to be okay because we're still in a position to laugh.
At this stage in the spread of the virus, South Africa is roughly where Italy was 2 weeks ago. The nation's battle to stave off infection is likely to be long and difficult and littered with unforeseen challenges. It's a kind of grueling, trying situation where you don't know whether to laugh or cry. Here in South Africa, we choose to laugh. Anita Powell, VOA News, Johannesburg.
And that wraps up this special VOA Africa program. I'm your host, Yehia Suhib, in Washington. For all the latest developments on the continent 24/7, visit our website at voanews.com. Thank you again for tuning in to this recorded program while VOA resolves its technical issues. Thanks for choosing the Voice of America.
Our Voices television program is about more than just sitting and talking about women's issues. It's about listening to them and bringing their opinions to the table and making sure that their voices are heard. Because our lived experiences, our stories, and our voices will help shape the next generation.
Check your local TV listings and join the conversation each week with Our Voices on VOA.
The Voice of America's global news program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest news stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. Our correspondents gather the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 3:30 and 17:05 UTC on The Voice of America.
Sports fans, brighten your day by tuning into the sunny side of sports Monday through Friday at 16:30 and 18:30 UTC. Join us on Facebook at facebook.com/VOA Sunny and on Twitter at VOA Sunny Sports. Or check out the blog at blogs.voanews.com/sunny. It's the sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.